Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Sin separates us from God. Sin is what has gotten us into this mess. It was our sin that required God's intervention on our behalf. So He sent Jesus to take the full penalty of our sin in order that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. Now, since it was our sin that started all the trouble, do you really think that Jesus came to save us in order that we would continue living in our same old sinful lifestyle with no change? Do you really think that that is what it means to live under grace? That God isn't concerned about how we live? That it's really come as you are, stay as you are, no change required? Well, let's find out. Stay tuned right here to Skies Revival Radio. Sin separates us from God. Sin is what has gotten us into this mess. It was our sin that required God's intervention on our behalf. So He sent Jesus to take the full penalty of our sin in order that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. Now, since it was our sin that started all the trouble, do you really think Jesus came to save us in order that we could continue on living in our same old sinful lifestyle with no change? Do you really think that's what it means to live under grace? That God isn't concerned about how we live? That it's really come as you are, stay as you are, no change required? Well, under much popular teaching today, if we even try to obey Jesus by putting the sin out of our life, we are branded as heretics, that we're in a religion of works. But God's word paints quite another picture. The salvation of Jesus is a salvation that transforms our lives, puts to death the sinful thoughts and desires of our heart, and gives us a brand new life of purity and obedience. 1 Peter 2:24 says it exactly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you are healed. The new covenant is a covenant of grace that brings both forgiveness and cleansing from sin. That's what it's all about, cleansing from sin. Since it was our sin that got us into all this trouble, the salvation of God is all about cleansing us from that sin by His grace. So since we are to die to sin, it is very much mandatory for us to find out what the sin is in our lives. And how do we do that? We turn to the Ten Commandments, which is the exact definition of what sin is to God. It's not our opinion that we're to live up to. It's not the opinion of others we are to live up to. It's not the moral standard set by the media that we're to live up to, or in this case, to live down to. It's God's commandments that define not our opinion, but God's opinion of sin. So nothing else matters except His definition, and it doesn't change with the times. The Ten Commandments have been out of fashion for quite some time now. They've even been pulled off of courthouse walls. And the result is that all types of sin have crept into the society, into the church, and into our lives. And that may put us all at ease because no one is messing with our worldly, compromised Christian lifestyle, but there are definite consequences to living with unrepentant sin in our lives. The consequences are twofold. First, there is punishment for sin. Make no mistake about it, sin is punished. It may be either judgment or discipline, depending on where your heart is with the Lord, but sin is punished in all cases. And this accounts for much of the misery in many Christian lives. The other consequence is separation from God. Sin brings separation. It puts a veil between us and God. Why are so many Christians depressed today? Why are so many on antidepressants? Why is it that there is no song, there's no joy, that there's so little victory in the church? It's because of the unconfessed sins of the heart, the unconfessed sins of the eye, the sins of the tongue. It's because of a confession of love for Jesus, but in fact, we love the world and the things of the world. The quickest route to victory, the quickest way to put joy into your life is by addressing the sin that's in your life. Repentance and turning from sin is the most joyful thing anyone can do. It brings about immediate restoration of fellowship with Jesus, and Jesus is the source of life. And that's what this study is about. We're doing a study called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. And this is the surprising door. The door to radiant life is repentance and turning from sin. And that's why this study is so exciting. We are closely examining God's good laws, the Ten Commandments, to see how we might be breaking His laws in ways that we may know about or ways that we don't know about, and then repenting of those sins and turning them over to God. Those who have been working through these lessons with us are starting to experience a new victory in their lives. It's not an emotional high from some temporary teaching that they've heard. No, it's real victory that comes from a real turning from sin. This is real revival. When we identify the sin in our lives and we cry out to God and we say, Lord, forgive me, this is real revival. And it begins to make an immediate effect on our life, and our relationship with the Lord immediately starts to become more vital. Our study today is from Lesson 8 of the Narrow Gate book. If you don't have a copy, you can get it on Amazon. It's pretty inexpensive. Or if you would like, you can take a download of a PDF version from our website. The website is theskies.org. That is theskies.org. It's great to be able to follow along with the book, and it's helpful to go back and reference other chapters because this is a study that builds line upon line and precept upon precept. Now, let's get on with the study from Lesson 8. Since God has defined what sin is by giving us the commandments, the devil, your enemy, focuses on the commandments as the quickest, most effective way to separate people from God. So we have been taking a close look at the Ten Commandments, where we have already examined the first and second commandments about not having any false gods before Him. Today we are going to cover the third commandment, that we are not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. The devil tries to get us to break each and every one of the commandments. What better way to plunge people into complete disobedience than to get them to do the opposite of what God said without them even knowing it? So he gets them to fill their lives with false idols without any idea that they're breaking the first and second commandments. They run from idol to idol from morning to night and never realize they are reaping the penalty of breaking the first commandments. Next, he turns his attention to the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And by his skill and craft, he is able to have the name of the Lord used as a curse word. It is not just a curse word, it is the curse word. It is the most common and acceptable form of cursing. So that when other words are banned from public media as distasteful, the sacred name of Jesus can be defamed from morning to night without any repercussions. Can you imagine the outcry if the name of Allah were used as a curse word on television? On that subject, you ever wonder why we don't yell, "Oh, Hare Krishna," or "Oh, Buddha," when things go wrong? It's because the devil knows it doesn't matter how many times we use Buddha as a curse word, it doesn't have any effect on separating us from God. No, the devil's design is to hurt us as much as possible. So he mysteriously puts the name of God and Jesus into the mouths of people when they're angry. He knows that if Jesus is used as a curse word, it will separate us from God. Once he separates us from God, he will be able to shepherd us into hell with very little resistance. Do not follow the multitude in doing evil. Another of the devil's tactics is to cause the law of God to be broken so frequently that it no longer is considered a law by most people. Take, for example, the posted speed limits on our various highways. In New England, if not throughout the country, the speed limits are so routinely ignored that if someone was ticketed in a 65-mile-an-hour zone for only going 75 miles an hour, the driver would be irate. Why? Because the traffic flows ordinarily between 80 and 85. The posted limits have ceased to exist because it has become acceptable to greatly exceed them without any concern for breaking the law. In the case of the third commandment, we have a similar situation. This law has been so routinely ignored that it ceases to be a law in the minds of the people. They think it can be broken with impunity, that nothing will happen to them. If they were to be punished for taking the Lord's name in vain, they would be irate. They would complain, "Everybody does it," that they were being treated unfairly. However, the scriptures say, "Do not follow the multitude in doing evil." That's Exodus 23, verse 2. There is no excuse that will stand up to God's penetrating gaze. Ours is to study the requirements and to abide by them no matter what the rest of the world is doing. When we die, we'll stand before God alone. The multitude we followed in doing evil will not be there to defend us. The full third commandment reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." That means every single time we hear the Lord's name used as a curse word, there is punishment that has been assigned on TV, in videos, in the workplace. He will not leave them unpunished, even though everybody does it. The book of Leviticus 5:17 says, Now, if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, even though he was unaware, still he is guilty and will bear his punishment. God doesn't forget because it's his name. Imagine for a moment that your name was used as an exclamation every time something annoyed people. And imagine that it was not just generically your name, Nicholas or Jennifer, but it was you specifically out of all those with your name that they're referring to. Next, try to imagine what it would be like to be able to hear your name being used as a curse in every workplace, every office, every factory, every bar and restaurant, and in every home. Jesus hears his name used that way 24 hours a day. What a hurtful way to treat the one who loves us to the end of time. We spoke of the commandments as not being burdensome to us, and they are not. If we imagine the tender heart of Jesus enduring that type of abuse, it makes us desire to speak his name lovingly and reverently. Picture what a soothing, wonderful fragrance it is to our dear Savior when he hears one of his beloved children speak his name tenderly in the midst of the great din of curses. He's our dearest friend. He is our truest love. He's our greatest joy. Our loving use of his name is actually a comfort to him, and I'm sure it makes all of his pains for us seem more worthwhile. God is a person. He is not a force. He is not far off. He is not a distant, controlling entity. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our dear brother. He is approachable. He is a person, and his name needs to be reverenced and not taken carelessly or heedlessly or in following the multitude. How easy it is to fall into that sin when we are surrounded by it continually in the workplace. Well, there's one word to say about that. Don't do it. Let's picture yourself as a student at a school, and one hot day on the way home, you decide to go for a swim at the lake. And while you're a long way out, suddenly your leg cramps up. You start to panic and then begin to go down. A schoolmate sees you in trouble. This particular schoolmate is someone a little different from everyone else and a little misunderstood, and he also can't swim. But without a moment's hesitation, he rushes in to try to save you. And somehow he manages to reach you and pull you to safety. You're safe. You're alive. As you look around in relief, however, you find that your rescuer is nowhere in sight. In the midst of saving you, he's taken on so much water he's gone under. And the sad conclusion is that he's drowned. You're in shock and disbelief at his utter selflessness. He not only risked his life, but actually went to his death rescuing you. You're overwhelmed that such a person could even exist on earth. After the funeral, things return to normal. And then one day, as you're walking down the hall, you hear someone mention his name. But something's wrong. It's not in a good way, but as a scornful joke. Did you hear correctly? They're actually mocking the person who gave his life for you? They're making fun of him because he was so stupid as to jump in the water when he couldn't swim? They mock him because he could save you, but not himself? And then somehow it becomes a fad. Suddenly, whenever something goes wrong, everyone uses his name as a swear word. Imagine how you would feel. But that's just the beginning. Then it becomes so pervasive that you found yourself actually thinking it. And eventually his name slips out of your own mouth as a curse. Try to imagine the injustice of that. And we can see how terribly wrong it is to use Jesus' name as a curse we must not only resist the tide of a society that mocks him continually, but we should be indignant toward those who defame our Savior, who gave his life to save us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want you to make us to be blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. We want to become clean. We want to become obedient children. We want to hear your word and do it. Lord, please work into us a great hunger and thirst for righteousness. Help us to seek after your good laws, Lord, and to confess our sins and to walk uprightly with you. You died to save us from our sins. Lord, may revival meet us. May we become the revival. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
is Jesus to the rescue, your burdens he will bear. Rise up and sing in the morning, courageous in the veil. Rise up and sing in the morning, his mercies never fail.
Rise up.